Good afternoon. I hope you are enjoying your Thanksgiving day. This week, I've been sharing with you a short story I wrote that deals with a grieving family. The main character is a husband and father who believes deeply in God and wants to express thanks to God, but he is struggling to know how to do that in the face of tragedy. As I have done all week, let me go back and reread some of what we heard yesterday. As I begin reading, it's the night before Thanksgiving in our story. And our story continues now. This is part four. Now I am out in our dining room, standing at the head of the table where I plan to sit tomorrow. My nose sniffs the aroma pouring out of the kitchen, and it appears that we will have homemade gravy, after all. I'm thinking about the seating chart. 15 people, basically all adults, except two teenagers. But the way they dress and act, it's like they're in their late 20s already. I'll sit here, and following the request of my wife, I'll put her down the other end nearest the kitchen. My parents go to the right of me, and then my sister and her family. I pause, well, for a very long time, and stare at the chair to my left. Rebecca's seat. That girl of mine sat there, right in that exact spot for the last 27 years. From the time she was 3 years old, we put her there every fourth Thursday of November. Thanksgiving Day. What do we do about the seat this year? Leave it empty, like the Jews leaving an empty chair at the Seder supper, or like the solemn reminder of the son that never came home from war? Or do we have someone else sit there? My wife wants our granddaughter down by her, at least for as long as she can sit still, and neither of us wants our son-in-law next to us. Could I put my mom there? She would feel honored, but then she would look out of place. Finally, I decide to just shift the chairs a little bit, giving everyone more elbow room, and slide close family friends in next to me on my left. All the options seem too morbid. With that, I take one last glance at the table, all perfectly set for this Thanksgiving. I turn off the lights and shuffle over to the front door to make certain it is locked. I do it out of habit. And then I turn towards the stairs and climb them, one sad step at a time. Who says, I do not grieve and mourn? I miss my daughter more than they know. I sit on the edge of the top stair and the tears come slowly at first. And then I am sobbing. I can hardly breathe, I cry so hard. I wake up to rain. I can hear it pitter-patter against the glass on the window we have that runs along my side of the bed. I beat my alarm, again, as always, and search for my glasses with my left hand. Once I get those on, then I can swing my legs down and my feet snuggle inside my slippers. As I open the blinds, I see clouds and sense that it must not only be raining, but that it's also going to be a chilly Thanksgiving. I love it. When Rebecca was young, we established what I considered to be the perfect Thanksgiving Day routine. Now, I'm very sentimental, so I borrowed some of these traditions from my own growing up experience, but we always started off the day with coffee for me and my wife and hot chocolate for Becca. And we would pair our beverages with a box of Munchkins from Dunkin' Donuts. We each had a different favorite kind. Rebecca loved the honey glazed, her mom the jelly ones, and I went with chocolate glazed. Yum! We took our time and then changed in time for the local high school football game, 10 a.m. kickoff. It was, and it still is, a big rivalry game. Tigers, Wildcats. And we especially loved this when it was raining or snowing or some form of inclement weather. The more late fall like the weather, the better. Just like today. Then it was hurrying home for showers and final preparations of the dinner before the doorbell rang and our guests arrived. We always host. The key was to get as much of the turkey and fixins eaten by, say, 2 p.m. so us guys could escape into the TV room and watch the second half of Lions and whoever they were playing in Detroit before the Dallas Cowboys hosted down in Big D at 4:30 p.m. I love those Thanksgiving Day football games. Now, not without a big plate of apple pie smothered with Brigham's ice cream. Chocolate chip was my favorite. And then some more coffee before dozing off in front of the TV. After all the guests left, the three of us would clean up and then settle down for Mary Poppins on NBC. It's the one with Jane Andrews and Dick Van Dyke. I loved that movie. I'll always love that movie. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. The medicine go down. And in the most delightful way. I used to try to sing along with my daughter, and she would tell me, "Daddy, that's not how it sounds." And then when she was a teenager and I tried to keep her from going to the mall with friends instead of watching it with us, she would say, "Dad, please shut up." But now that she had a daughter of her own, we could all cuddle up and watch it together again. But not tonight. I'm shocked back into reality. Becca is gone. But I remain determined to make the most of this day. I am nothing if not persistent. And I check in on my wife in the kitchen. Everything seems on track for the meal. We go over all the guests and what they are bringing. I double-check the freezer to make sure we have enough Brighams. We are both trying hard not to talk about the past. We certainly do not want to mention what Rebecca had planned to bring and how she was going to need most of the freezer for it. It was to be a giant sheet cake with the word Thanksgiving written in pure sugar across the top. She told me on the phone that two giant red autumn leaves would be in the place of dots above the letter I. G-I-V-I-N-G. She texted us a picture of the prototype on the condition that we deleted it quickly so her daughter wouldn't see it. My, how she loved to bake. Right at 12, the doorbell rang, and one after another, our guests shook water off their umbrellas and raincoats and came in the front door. As people mulled around, I suddenly feel on the spot concerning grace. For decades, this has been my responsibility, and I take it so seriously, mainly because many of our family members and friends who come to our home on Thanksgiving are not Christians. Some of them don't even believe there is a God. So in thanking the God, I wanted to remind all of us that without God, we wouldn't even be here. And I personally had so much to be thankful for. We all did. But now I froze. Maybe I belonged in the freezer. I just keep thinking about my wife, who would be sitting down the other end of the table from me. If I launch into a prayer for how grateful we are, what will she think? What will she even say? Is she angry enough to leave the table, go upstairs, and not come back down again? And what about my sister, who always sided with my wife? Those two seem to be comforting each other with this idea that because of what happened to us, there might not even be a God. And then, of course, there were our friends who claimed to be atheists. They didn't quite have the courage to say it to me. Something like, "See, we tried to tell you that God doesn't exist, but you had to learn the hard way. Now that you're suffering, you'll agree with us." They didn't say it, but their faces said it. And how do I pray in front of all these ideas and interests and opinions and people? I really had to think about it, but I didn't have time to sneak away to the den and journal. It was time to eat. The bird was out of the oven already. So everyone got seated, each according to their proper chair, and I invited us to bow our heads for prayer, grace. And then, as clear as can be, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 came as words to my tongue. In everything, give thanks. I repeated it twice. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And I went on to say that despite what we were feeling, we were grateful to God. And when I looked up, everyone was staring straight at me. And I didn't know where to look, so I looked all the way down the table to my wife and caught her straight in the eye. A tear fell down her face, and I realized I was crying too. And she stood up with her glass and came around the table, and now it was like the world, according to my dining room, was in slow motion. And she came right to my side and sat along the edge of my chair, and she put her right arm around me. And through tears and with a crackling in her voice, she said, looking out over the guests, "This has been so hard. We love Rebecca, and we miss her so much. I have felt numb to God, which, as you know, is not like me. But my husband here, she looked down at me now, is so stubborn. Her tears kind of transforming themselves into a laugh. I just want him to know, back to tears again, I do love him. And I want to believe like he does, and maybe I will again. But for today, for now, I want to propose a toast to our sweet, lovely, and beautiful daughter. The guests raised their glasses, and surprised, I reached for mine. To Becca, we love you, and we miss you. And all 15 of us, my granddaughter asleep in her chair, raised our glasses and said to Becca, and took a small sip of whatever was in each glass. Well, that is the end of the story for today, but it is to be continued tomorrow. We will finish it. Please join me again tomorrow as we conclude our story. You know, today is Thanksgiving, and I want to acknowledge that for many of you, this is not an easy day. I don't know why. I lack knowledge of your circumstance, but I am sure that many of you are unhappy for some reason. So just before this broadcast ends, I want to say a word of prayer for grieving families and individuals who find this day incredibly hard. Lord Jesus, you teach us to be thankful in everything, but for many of us, that's hard. There will be people within the sound of my voice now who find a holiday such as this to be a day of grief or sorrow or some kind of hurt and pain. Many people are lonely and alone, and I pray for them. And I ask that you in your grace and mercy will comfort them and that you will see to it that they do not feel alone, but that they sense your presence in their lives. Amen. Friends, enjoy the rest of Thanksgiving Day, and then join me tomorrow at this same time as we conclude our story here on God Is.